been mentioned a couple of times already this morning that this is the last Sunday of the year. It's good to see a good number out this morning for that last Sunday, and I hope that you'll continue this good habit into the next year. I had a little bit of miscommunication with Nick over the scripture reading. I intended for him to read 3 John, not John the 3rd chapter and verse 2. But we'll turn over there and look at that in a moment. But we want to take this opportunity to do a little bit of reflecting, I guess. And again, this is something that each of us individually needs to do. We need to look back over the past year and we need to ask ourselves, have I grown? And I don't mean gained weight and gotten a bigger belly. We need to ask ourselves spiritually, have I grown any? Spent some time with the young men in class this morning talking to them about it. Most of them are young Christians, even though many of them grew up coming to church. They've only been Christians for about a year. So I said, okay, well now you're about a year old. Are you growing? And where do you want to grow next year? You need to start making plans. You need to look at what you want to do. Growth doesn't happen by accident. You know, you can't just lay a baby in the crib and say, well, I reckon they'll grow if they want to. If you want that baby to grow, you're going to have to feed the baby and give them water and all of the things that they need in order to grow. Those things are necessary. And the same is true with us in a spiritual sense. Sometimes we do a lot of diligent work to convert someone. And then once they're converted, we say, all right, they're Christians now. We'll let them go. And it takes a lot of work to grow in Christ, just like it did in order to be born into Christ. Both of those processes take a lot of effort. So we need to think about what we've done in the last year. Maybe some things that we want to put behind us, as Ron prayed in the prayer a while ago, and we certainly echo that sentiment. All of us have done things this past year that we knew we shouldn't have done, and that we wish we could go back and change it, but time doesn't work that way. You can't go back. What you can do is resolve to do better the next time around and in the next year. There's a song, I can't remember us singing it any time recently, certainly, but it's in our songbook, number 642. It's called I Am Resolved. And as we come up on a new year, I think this song echoes some of the things that we need to be thinking about. The writer says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. That's a resolution we all need to make. So many times, because of the fact that we live in this world, we are charmed by the delightful things of this world. It may be money, it may be food, it may be clothes and fashion, and it may be any number of things that are out there that are in this world, and we're charmed by those things. We see those things and we think they're so delightful. And we think we've just got to experience them to the fullest. But what we have to remember is that Jesus came to give us a full and abundant life. And it didn't include all of the world's delights. We've got to grow to the point where we recognize that the world's delights are temporary. There in 3 John, that's the wrong passage. But we're told in the Scriptures that the things that are seen are temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. And so we know that these things are all going to pass away. And if we have our life wrapped up in them, doesn't matter what it is, if it's a house and our life is just wrapped up in that house, what happens if that house burns down? If our life is wrapped up in a particular job, and that's just the most important thing in the world, what happens if we lose that job? If our life is wrapped up in a car or some other possession, what happens if that's stolen? or if it's destroyed in some way. We know that everything in this world is going to be destroyed. It's all temporary. So the writer says, I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to continue to be charmed by the world's delight. And then he goes on, things that are higher. You know, there are some people who don't think there's anything higher than the pursuit of physical pleasure. That's all they're interested in. It's just, I'm going to party as hard as I can for as long as I can, and that's all life's all about. And that's all I can ever get out of it, so I'm going to make the most of it. But the writer of this song knew better. There are things that are higher than that. Things that are nobler. These have allured my sight. Have we ever had our sight allured by things that are higher and nobler than just the world's delight? Now that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the world that God created for us, but what it does mean is that we've got to realize that's not all there is. There's more to it. There's a spiritual side of life. There's more than just the physical. Then in the second verse, he says, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. As we look at how we need to grow in the next year, that's certainly one of the ways we need to grow. Leave the sin and the strife behind. So many times, the things that we struggle and fight and argue and fuss about are those worldly pleasures. They're not the nobler, higher things. And if we focus on the nobler, higher things, then those things that we've been fussing and fighting about won't seem so important anymore. Won't seem worth fighting over in a lot of cases. He goes on to say then, He, speaking of the Savior, he said, go to the Savior. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. He's got the words of life. It's not your friend. It's not your neighbor. It's not even your husband or wife or mother or father or not even the preacher. They're not the ones that have the words of life. Jesus is the one who has the words of life. We've got to go to Him. He's the one who came to bring us that abundant life. Then in the third verse, he says, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Someone mentioned the attitude that we need to have in our struggle with Satan every day. You know, Satan comes out swinging every day. He gets up every morning when we get up. He's already up waiting for us, ready to see what he can do to us that day. But we need to make the determination each and every day, no, Satan, not today. Today I'm going to follow the Savior, faithful and true. We can't make promises about next week or next month or next year, but today I'm going to follow the Savior. And if we get up and say that every morning and just tell Satan, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to follow Jesus today. Then he goes on to say of the Savior, heed what he says. So sometimes Jesus says some things that we don't like. He tells us certain things that may not be the way we want it to be. Like when he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We may not like that, but he knows what he's talking about. We need to heed what he says and do what he wills. We need to give our will up. One of the things that makes us more miserable in this life than anything else is when we try to halfway follow Christ. And we want to follow Him when it's convenient to us, but then we want to do what we want to do when we disagree with Him. That will make us so miserable. They have a thing, I went to a museum recently, and I've been to other museums where they have a science museum. And that one that I went to, they had three poles. One of them was just regular room temperature pole, a metal pole. On one side they had a hot pole. On the other side they had a cold pole. And it was very fascinating. You feel this, oh, it's warm. It's not real, real hot, but it's warm. It feels, it's not hot enough to burn you, but it feels, almost uncomfortable. The cold one is cold enough that it feels almost uncomfortable. And what the hell you do is you hold the warm one and the cold one with your hands, and then you take your hands off of them and put them on that middle one. And it is the strangest sensation, and I don't know how to describe it to you fully, but your hand that was hot is now cold. And the one that was cold is now feeling like it's just burning up, and yet you're holding a pole that's room temperature. But both hands are now not just uncomfortable, it hurts. And that's sometimes what we try to do. We're trying to hold on to God over here and trying to hold on to some of the worldly Satan things over here. And then we try, and it's just going to make us miserable. Can't be comfortable like that. Jesus describes it in the letter to the church of Laodicea as being lukewarm. And he said, I'd rather if you were just cold and against me than to be halfway. We need to follow what He wills and do what He wills. He is the living way. And then verse 4, he says, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Now, we often think of this verse in terms of someone becoming a Christian. You know, I'm going to enter the kingdom. And because I'm already in the kingdom. But we still got heaven as a goal. So he said, I'm going to enter heaven. I'm going to get there. And you know, friends may oppose me. Sometimes even friends who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in Christ may actually oppose us. Foes may beset me. Now listen to the determination. Still, I will enter in. We need to make a determination in this next year that we're not going to let friends or foes stop us from following God and continuing toward heaven. You know, a lot of people are brought down by their friends because their friends that they used to run with still want them to do the things they used to do, and so they give in to that and they go right on and go do those things that they used to do. And their so-called friends have caused them to fall away from Christ. Others, it may be foes. People just made you so mad that you lost your Christianity over it. But we may need to make that determination in this coming year that whether it's friend or foe, when we realize that they're trying to hinder me getting to heaven, I'm not going to let them stand in my way any longer. I'm going to make sure that I will still enter in regardless of who stands in my way. And then, of course, another area where we need to grow in the coming year, in verse 5, he says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. So we need to encourage others in this coming year. You know, it's one thing to grow yourself and to become closer to God, and we all want to do that. That's a good thing to do. But if we go and we make it to heaven by ourselves, that will be disappointing. Who will go with us? We need to be reaching out. We need to be evangelizing others. We need to be edifying and encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. So come on, let's all go together. Then we can have friends who help us instead of friends who hinder us. That's what we need. That's what we have to have. And he goes on to say then in the chorus, it says, I will hasten without delay. I will hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, the greatest, the highest, I will come to Thee. Sometimes we say, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to get around to coming to You sometime. And we need to do it without delay. We need to hasten. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm enjoying this right now too much. I'll change it next year or the next year. We need to decide right now. We'll change these things that need to be changed. I'm going to set forth on this new goal. I just have one wish for you. It's the same wish that John had for Gaius in 3 John chapter 2. I mean, chapter 1 is all there is to 3 John. Verse 2. In 3 John and verse 2, John writing to the beloved Gaius, his friend and companion in the truth, said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Now, if he'd have stopped right there, everybody'd think, "Oh, isn't that wonderful?" But that's not what I wish for you either. I wish that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Might not like to have it linked that way, but I hope that if your soul is not prospering, that you'll be miserable and sick. And maybe it'll wake you up and help you realize what you need to be doing to get your life straightened up. But if you are prospering spiritually, if your soul is growing and striving for what is right and reaching for heaven, then I hope you'll prosper financially, physically, in health, emotionally, and in every other way, just as much as you are spiritually, just as much as your soul is growing. Wouldn't that be something? Now, some of us could get rich next year if that happened. Some of us would be broke and homeless by the end of the year if that happened. But you see, the problem that we have sometimes is that the physical and the spiritual aren't in a relationship like that. If it was, maybe that would help us to straighten ourselves up. But sometimes we can be prospering and be in good health and be living just as wicked, and our soul is suffering so much, but we don't care because everything else seems to be going good. But I pray for you each and every day, and I hope that you pray for me too. We need to encourage each other. We need to strive together in our prayers. Romans 15:30. This is the passage that we put with the prayer warriors cards for those who are doing that. But this scripture says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." But we all need to strive together in prayers. We leave out one of the greatest weapons we have if we're not striving in prayer for one another. I want to encourage you this morning. Be resolved. Don't linger charmed by the world's delight. Don't stay in sin. But follow Jesus. Come to Jesus. Heed His words. Do His will. And try it for a year. And if you're not better off at the end of the year spiritually and emotionally, if you don't think clearer, feel better about yourself, you can have a money-back guarantee. It won't cost you anything. But the fact of the matter is, it will. You will feel better. In the Old Testament, I've seen this verse on some pies, but it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." But taste and see. Test Him out. Try Him and see if He won't make you prosper. And I'm not talking about money. We always think, "Oh, I want more money, more money." You know, you'll be amazed to find that if you start loving God and the things of God rather than being focused on the things of this world, your money will go further because you won't have to buy a bunch of the junk that you don't need. And you'll find that your health will be better because you won't be in constant stress and strife and conflict within over your guilt and you're struggling over whether you're going to obey Him fully or not. Studies have shown that stress is a huge factor in our health physically. And one of those sources of stress is our spiritual position with God. We know we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're not going to be doing well. But I want to encourage you. I wish this for all of you, that you will prosper and be in health in this coming year as your soul prospers. And I hope you'd wish the same for me. That's what John wished for Gaius. Not just to prosper and be in health, but to do so in accordance with, in conjunction with how his soul is prospering. I hope you'll all look at your lives and see the areas this year that you grew, and be glad of those areas where you grew. But look at those areas where you didn't grow, or maybe those areas where you even slid back some this year that you need to get back going right. And resolve to do better next year. Resolve to get those things turned around and heading the right direction. Resolve to grow spiritually first and foremost. And see if in the process of growing spiritually, you don't find that the other areas of your life start getting better too. Now Jesus has given us the words of life. Timothy tells us that the Scripture is there and it's profitable for all the things that we need. Peter tells us that the Word of God, that the Bible here, that His words, His truth, the Scriptures are there to give us everything we need for life and godliness. And yet so many times we go through life thinking, I wish I had a way to figure out what to do. We do. It's right here in front of us, the Word of God. Well, we tried to not spend a lot of time this morning because we do have the congregational meeting. But I wanted to encourage you just a little bit as we head into the next year. As we're looking forward to what we're going to do next year, as we're making our plans, don't leave God out of your plans. As you're thinking about your expenses and your, how am I going to spend all my money next year? Don't leave God out of your plan. If we leave Him out, He may leave us out. We need to think about it and prepare for it. We need to make this next year a better year. We've had some struggles the past couple of years, really. As a congregation, we've had some struggles, and many of the individuals here, we've had troubles and trials these past couple of years. Let's put those behind us. Let's move forward. Resolve to follow Christ fully, 100%. And see if we don't wind up better off this time next year than we are today. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, if you're not a Christian, you're not promised next year. Your life could end before this year's over. Where will you be? Where do you stand with God? If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You can't grow unless you've been born in Christ. Awful hard to grow in Christ if you're not in Christ. It's an impossibility. You need to become a Christian, and there's no better day than today. If you're here and you are a Christian, you recognize some areas in your life that you need to grow, some things that you need to change, some sins you need to put off, and some good works you need to put on, whatever it might be. If you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and sing.